Welcome to the AgriCast, the official podcast of AgriGamer.com. This is episode 82, and I am Brian Bentley. With me tonight, of course, is Chief Editor David Becker and Corey Dockendorf.
What's up?
Hey, how's it going?
What's going on? It is the pre-E3 episode, and I don't know what it's like around, this is unfair because it's always hot and where David is, but all of a sudden, it was like 61 week. And then this week it's like 90, so I'm just sitting here just drenched in sweat because of, you know, we don't really have central air in this like 100-year-old house, but it is hot here.
No central air.
Yeah. Well,
how do you know, live?
But it's okay because, like I said yesterday in my Twitter, it's a wet, muggy heat, so it's fine.
Different from a dry heat, like
right.
Las Vegas, because you know what else is a dry heat? A bonfire.
Yeah, you know what? At least dry heats are pure. You're not faked into thinking you're hot because of the moisture in the air.
Hey, I like to swim through my heat.
That's right. Yeah, if I'm not breathing water, it's not really summer.
Exactly.
That's what we say over here in the Midwest.
I'm a heat purist. It needs to be all heat, nothing else.
David Becker, all heat, all the time.
Hey,
damn,
that's
straight.
It's happening.
Oh. but how are you guys been?
Surviving for the most part as usual. Just getting ready for pretty much E3. All the meetings and everything and all the planning that goes into our end to get everything going.
Right. Yes, I was sending out plenty of emails today. Myself.
Email. Yeah, I'm trying to keep up. I mean, there's so much. The problem with E3 is that every time it comes, like the past 2 weeks have been nothing but news. There has been crap coming at me from every single direction. I can barely keep up. So it's one of those things like finally the culmination is here. E3 is here. Let's get it all out in the open. Let everybody see everything that we got going on and go.
Yeah.
That's how it is all the time, though.
Yeah.
You know, I will say, though, that I took a look at the, map, and it does seem like maybe some of the booths are maybe a little more toned down than we have seen in the recent past. I mean, I know this is part of our main topic, so, maybe we'll just, I just was thinking about that now. Maybe I'll hold that off.
Yeah, let's just bring that up when we get to the main topic.
Yeah. Wait till that happens.
All right. I'm leaving on Sunday. I'm getting excited. I'm genuinely getting excited. I'm stoked. So why don't we quickly do what you've been playing, David? Kick us off.
Well, what I've been playing recently has been I actually got one of those on live like the TV adapters sent to me.
Nice.
And yeah, they sent it as to help with all the reviewing and everything. So it's been extremely nice having that. And I've been playing Assassin's Creed 2. Or Brotherhood, sorry. Which I guess is a sequel of the sequel.
Yes.
A sequel.
Yeah. And it came free with the Leonardo da Vinci DLC, so it's like three games and, three sequels in one or some shit like that, I don't know. But I really wanted to play that, so I've been playing that and I'm enjoying that. And the only other thing that's really got me addicted since the last podcast is there's this iPod game that came out called Shadow Cities, and it's an augmented reality MMO where you pretty much create your own mage, and it uses your actual location, and it starts popping like creatures up. Like right now, I'm looking at it. I'm actually in my house destroying ghosts.
Nice.
And it's,
really?
Yeah, it's really, really cool, and I didn't expect it because it's free to download and play, and if you want like to just pretty much level up faster, you can pay little bits to get, it's a microtransaction type thing.
Right, convenience and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, but even just, the cool thing about it is even just doing it free, for free, the downtown area of Vegas, I actually own it, and people curse at me now because they can't come in and fight anything because of how powerful I made myself in that area.
Nice.
I actually had somebody send me a message, get the fuck out of my realm. No, I'm playing from work right now.
Classic.
And the funny thing is, because I'm a techno mage, and it's like you get bonuses based on the areas you're in. So because of all the tech and all that stuff down there, I'm getting bonuses just being in that area.
Nice.
And all of the creatures in the area kind of stay up to my level. So,
right.
Like, first level people coming in, and right now I'm, like, level 8. And they're going up against level 8 creatures, so they can't do anything to try to work their way into this area.
That's awesome. You totally broke it.
I got hacked.
Yes, hacks. Confirm.
Well, I did find a weird little glitch in the game, but I'm going to keep that secret. It allows you to refresh your mana instantaneously without using any mana potions.
Nice.
Wow. Cheating confirmed.
Cheating confirmed.
I'll be cheating. I just got to go out there and log in during work hours. And
Yeah, just so you know. You know, you're there making fun of people playing Farmville at work, and then you're, like, destroying ghosts and stuff with your Technomage.
I'm playing a Technomage god in this game.
That's funny.
Completely different than Farmville.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Oh, jeez. So that's your big, that's the big game. Nice.
Right now, yes.
Wow.
Yeah, nice.
I actually think I might do a review on it because it's entrapped me so much into this game.
David's enthralled.
Well, that's good, though. I mean, like, it's cool that they have that sort of, that they're able to kind of mesh those two worlds together. I mean, it's a little sad that you're, you know, playing on an iPod, but, you know.
That's the thing, is it's just another mobile game that they're trying to get out there, so. Mm-hmm. I never thought I'd be addicted to a mobile game outside of Angry Birds or Plants vs. Zombies.
Mm-hmm.
And now I am.
Now you're one of those people.
Yep.
Now you're just a regular Corey.
Yeah,
I can't wait till we go to E3. This thing's going to go crazy. I mean, it's insane bonuses being in the middle of that.
Oh, yeah. That's going to be insane. Corey, what about you? What horrible Apple game are you invested in?
If we want to talk Apple games, the Mike Tyson game. The new Hangover 2 Mike Tyson game. It's amazing. It's really just the remake of, like, every Super Punch-Out ever made on any mobile phone, but it's all the characters from, like, Hangover and Hangover 2, and it's freaking hysterical. That's my
nice.
Apple. That's
does
my
it
Apple
even
pick for the week.
Does it have the monkey?
You know what? He's probably a bonus character unlockable. I haven't gotten that far yet. But if I run into the monkey, I'll definitely send you a screenshot.
Nice.
What else have I been playing? Daggerdale. Dungeons & Dragons Daggerdale by Atari and Bedlam Games, which I will be putting up a very detailed review of my experience with that this week. So keep an eye out for that. What else have I been playing? Oh, okay. Let's talk about downloadable week of awesome. So I don't know if you guys have been following, but like earlier this week, middle of last week, they had the Steam was doing the Ubisoft downloads, and they were, you know, 30% off here, 33% off here. I got, and this is like the best deal I ever had, I got all 5 Prince of Persias. We're talking Prince of Persia the Forgotten Sands, Sands of Time, Two Thrones, and Warrior Within. I got all of them for $15.
Wow.
Dude, 5 games for $15, $3 a piece, I'm so there, thank you, Steam. So now I just have to play them. So, you know.
Right.
What else is that? Oh, and what was it? Yesterday, I believe, Tuesday the 31st, Plants vs. Zombies was free for all Android owners who had the Amazon downloadable app.
Yeah,
you. Yeah, I'm just, hey, you know what? It's not my fault. Your phone sucks.
Or for
yeah.
You know the workaround.
Sorry.
It was cool because for a lot of people that didn't know or were just hanging out on Amazon, it's like, oh, you know, I think that kind of broadened up Plants vs. Zombies to a whole new demographic to be like, hey, you know, this is that game that everybody's been talking about. Why don't you download it for free today on Amazon? I was like, oh, pretty cool. So
yeah.
I got my copy, I'm just saying, you know. But other than that, that's pretty much what I've been playing. Oh, and I've been playing Dungeon Siege 2 still since last we spoke. So I'm just continuing that myriad of nostalgia. So. How about you, Brian?
Well, I've actually been it's actually been kind of a, like I said last podcast, is I had gotten back into Persona 4, finished it, and started playing again. I'm now, last I checked, I had crested the 150-hour mark.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I'm a little obsessed. I think the wife is not happy. But other than that, I was visiting my brother in Iowa last week and put quite a bit of time playing Call of Duty Black Ops.
Ooh.
And I have to say, that is one fun-ass game. I'm not really a big Call of Duty guy, but, man, I don't even really like console shooters. That is one fun-ass multiplayer game. I didn't play the single player at all. All I played was the multiplayer for like 4 days straight. Bless you. And that was one hell of a fun experience, even on the PS3. A lot of people dogging the whole, you know, PSN, whatever.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, it's back up. We had no trouble connecting to games. We had no trouble with matchmaking. You know, he doesn't really have a headset, so, you know, we weren't talking on headsets, but, you know, other than that, it was an excellent experience. I am actually considering buying the game, and that's saying a lot considering I don't like console shooters, not a big Call of Duty guy, but that was a lot of fun.
Nice.
Yeah. I also did get to try,
to try what?
I'm trying to think. Whatever the new Tiger Woods is, the Masters, Tiger Woods PGA Tour 2012 with Tiger Woods, the Masters, and whatever. It has like a name that's like, I don't know, 20 words long or something. But that was actually not really a big golf game person either, but that was actually pretty fun too. It's really weird. My brother and I obviously have very, very different tastes in games. So it's nice to when we hang out because, you know, it gives me a chance to try a bunch of things that I normally wouldn't play. We restarted going through Resident Evil 4 again on the Wii.
Wow, nice.
Yeah, we had done it previously about 3 or 4 years ago on my copy, and I had gotten a copy for him for Christmas for like, you know, I think on Amazon it was like $7 or something, you know, like whatever. But it is, I still like it. That game, I know a lot of people hate the tank controls or whatever, but I really think that is still one of the better games, you know, on the Wii.
And it's coming out again for the PS3. You're going to be able to buy another edition.
I'll probably pass. Yeah. But, I mean, that's really kind of about it. I wish I'd played more. No, I actually don't. I just really been into Persona 4.
That's 150 hours.
Yeah. Some of that is, you know, I'm in the middle of a dungeon. You know, like, it's a 10-floor dungeon, and I'm on level 5, and I have no place to stop and save. So I'm like, you know, I do the, you know, push the PS button, and the whole thing kind of goes blank, but I think the timer is still running in the background.
Oh, okay, that's valid. I'll give you that.
I will say this, that a lot of people make the excuse, you know, like the backwards compatibility thing, not that important. I made the realization that if I did not have backwards compatibility on my PS3, I would probably not be playing this right now because it's too much of a hassle to set up my PS2. Well, you know, I'm being honest now.
I don't blame you. I agree. I concur.
I can completely agree with that, too. When they came out with the God of War collection, I was not happier because I no longer had to pull out the PS2 anymore to play it on my PS3.
Though I will say that with the heat rolling back in and it being in the, you know, 80s and 90s out here, my 60-gig original PS3 is the loudest motherfucker on the face of the planet.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, it is loud. Like, I have to turn up the volume on my TV, you know, on my surround sound, so I can hear the game over the fucking machine.
What's that, honey? I'm sorry, I can't hear you over the PlayStation. Hold on.
It's that bad. I mean, it's really, really loud.
Oh, man.
Yeah. I don't like to fuel the whole, you know, one side or the other or whatever, but my Halo Reach Xbox 360 Slim, quiet as a... It's like silk.
It's like listening to silk. That's what it's like.
Yeah.
It's cool.
Yeah. It's gorgeous. But anyway, that's my... that's my thing. I'm sticking to it. I said what I said.
Nice.
Yes. I was kind of lazy, so didn't really get the whole community spotlight thing getting going, so we're going to kind of skip that this week, and I think we have something I'd like to hold. Corey kind of agreed we're going to hold it off until after E3 when it's a little bit closer to when the actual event's going to occur, so we'll hold off on that, but which brings us to Care, Don't Care.
My favorite section.
Yes. Yeah, which, unfortunately, I didn't really hear it. No one really said anything about it. I don't understand. I think it's great. But for those who are unfamiliar, Care Don't Care is basically I'm going to throw out topics. They're going to switch off which one goes first, and it's kind of lightning round thing. They quickly give a bleh as to how they whether or not they care or do not care about the topic. There are 8 topics, and we will start with David on topic number 1. You guys ready?
All right, I'm ready. Let's do this.
Go for it.
All right. People eating or drinking while playing a game, whether it's on your computer, on your console, with your controllers in your hands, how do you feel? Care or don't care?
If it's on my stuff, I care. On their stuff, I couldn't give a half a shit. But no, when it comes to my stuff, I'm very meticulous on making sure my controllers are not sticky or, you know, none of the buttons stick. I have video game OCD. I'll just call it that. I can't deal with anything dirty on my console or computer stuff. So if it's mine, I care.
Mr. Corey.
Don't care. Because honestly, if you're sitting with a group of your buddies, you're drinking some beers, having some Kool-Aid, everybody's got a Capri Sun. Not really
Sunny D, purple stuff.
I'm not really worried about like people getting stuff on their hands and getting it on my controllers. Obviously, because if you have a guy that's sitting on the couch for some reason can't drink and has crap all over his hands, I mean, really, just get the dude a straw. Just be like, hold on, man. You know what? You're going to just drink out of this for the rest. You are the 5-year-old for the rest of the game. That's it. You're good to go.
Gaming sippy cups.
Exactly.
They attach to the controller, so you bring the controller to your mouth, drink out of the sippy cup.
And if you are close enough to spill something on my PS3 you have wireless controllers, so you're far enough back that if you spill something on my PS3, we're going to have words in the first place, because your drunk ass needs to sit back down.
No, that's the whole point of the Move and the Kinect, to get you up off your couch.
That's a whole different... I couldn't even imagine. I'd be doing Xbox, getting up there on the Kinect, running in place with a drink in my hand. Yeah, many of broken bottles. I see it already.
I'm going to say don't care just because I tend to eat and drink while I play.
That's why.
So I'm that guy. You know, I mean, I'm not saying I'm like, you know, eating Cheetos while I play, but... I occasionally have, you know, something nearby or a drink in my hand while I'm trying to play, especially like I've been playing Persona, you know, not exactly a super action-enriched game, so I'm able to play with one hand, you know, while I'm eating or drinking with the other hand.
Doing other things.
Hey.
What?
Mike has not been on this show in a long time.
Well, I was thinking, like, pet your dog, stroke your cat. I'm just saying.
Oh, no good can come. I'm going to stop that right now.
Yeah, don't go there.
Yeah.
Well, you don't like kittens. We've already established this.
I like kittens.
He likes kittens.
No, no,
children. And barbecue sauce.
Oh!
Next.
He'll be in L.A. all week next week, folks.
Yeah, find me. Yeah. You'll get a prize if you find me. I'm not telling you what the prize is, but you'll get a prize.
I don't think you want that. Anyway, so let's go to number 2, Corey.
Nope.
Care, don't care, booth babes.
don't care. I'm so tired of Booth Babes, man, and I'm tired of that there's a whole bunch of controversy. We're a bunch of geeks and nerds that go to these conventions to look at a few things. Video games, hot chicks dressed up as our favorite characters, whether they're Lara Croft, something out of EverQuest, World of Warcraft, whatever, and hang out with one another. I'm sick and tired of listening to everybody complain, oh, they're half-dressed, they're scantily dressed, that's how they're getting us to their booth. Yes, of course, sex sells, and especially in this market, it sells big time. So don't care, get over it, let the booth babes be booth babes. That's it, that's what they're hired for, go on.
David?
See, I'm a little torn on it, because I understand the purpose of having booth babes, because, as Corey said, sex sells. But on the converse side, I have seen how booth babes can completely destroy all of the fun of a convention. If you really, really want to understand my whole thought on it, there's a nice little article I wrote about last year's Comic-Con in booth babes, where, yeah, they pretty much destroyed an entire day's worth of convention for me. Because they draw people to the booths like they're supposed to, but for some reason, every geek in his, in ever, married or not married, apparently has never seen a pair of tits and has to see those tits and pushes everybody out of the way. It's like everybody reverts back to the most fucking base common denominator and can't get back out of that.
So, that's exactly it. They're like, you know what? All it is to get foot traffic. And they're like, hey, you know what? If I put a hot chick here in a tank top and a short shorts looking something like something out of Hooters, done. You're going to come into my booth. Whether my game is a piece of crap or not, you're going to come into my booth. It's all about based off foot traffic. That's all.
Exactly. And that to me, kind of, it ruins. It can help, but it can also ruin an event. Because if you're making that your huge focus to draw people in, whatever you're trying to sell is already shit to me. If you gotta use 8 fucking scantily clad chicks to draw people in to look at your game or whatever you're peddling, I can already tell you right now that whatever you're trying to sell is just shit.
It's not for me.
Yeah. I'm also of two minds on this for you know, two separate reasons. One is I don't care because it doesn't, like, other than, you know, I kind of agree with David, like, if this is your main focus, then there's obviously something wrong with your product to me. But I don't care because it doesn't affect me at all. Like, to me, I don't even, you know, like, I just see them, and then I keep walking to whatever I was doing. Like, it doesn't focus. I've never taken a picture with them. I don't see any point to that.
Well, the best one is when you take a camera up to them and say, hey, can I get a picture? And then they say, yeah, you hand them the camera and just pose yourself.
That would be awesome. Genius.
I've done it before.
Doing that next convention. Totally doing that.
That's fantastic. In a way, I do care because of, you know, we're supposed to be there working. You know, it is a work event. It's not for the public. And having, you know, this sex sells and whatever, you know, would be fine to me in a public place, but we're supposed to be there working, and I don't see how that it really has any true merit to have a, you know, scantily clad woman there, simply because it is still a male dominated industry. If that's all we're going in, and this is kind of a, you know, an interesting discussion that my wife and I had this morning, is, you know, if we're going to be just those base animals, then let's be honest, women should just treat us like animals and we should be in cages and stuff, and we can't control ourselves enough to be human beings, you know, so there really is, it is completely unnecessary to have them there in the first place.
Well, the other thing too is, you gotta also look at it, like, was it, if we're there to work, think of what the kids in the hall did. They had the best sketch about it. You work first, and then the whores and blow. Hookers and blow. not the hookers and blow while you work, because then just nothing gets done.
That's, and kids, that's a good lesson.
You play after you work.
Exactly. Unless it's a really, really, really horrible EA marketing tool.
Yeah.
Then you just ignore it. Number 3, David, to you starts co-op, like games with co-op in them.
Are we talking online co-op or at home, like just basic co-op?
Let's do online. Let's just say co-op in general. Like, get people. You know, like a lot of companies are trying to shove it into games now, like they used to shove multiplayer, like competitive multiplayer. So now companies are pushing, like co-op into games whether or not it's necessary, they're just shoving it in there.
I'm kind of mixed on that because honestly, I'm a big fan of playing my games by myself. I am a huge solo player, but in some aspects, like for instance with Portal 2, how they put their co-op in there is kind of its own game built off of Portal. It wasn't required or anything like that. It was just, and I know co-op's not normally required, but it was like that's something completely different than the single player experience. Whereas most other games where they're shoving co-op in, you're splitting the screen down the middle or across the middle or whatever, so that you and one other person can play the same story. Mm-hmm. And to me, I am not a big fan. I like to have the full experience. If I'm playing a campaign story, that's me time. If I'm going to play co-op, I want it to be something separate from it. And I also see that pretty much it's going to end up happening just like, you know, the multiplayer thing is, if a game pitch doesn't sound all that great, they're going to be able to go, it's got co-op. And everybody will be like, oh, best game ever.
Yeah.
Because it's got co-op.
Game of the year, confirmed.
Exactly. So, kind of mixed on it. That's where I'm at with that. So I care and don't care.
Corey, fire us up.
I totally care about this because I miss the days of two-player action. Why aren't there more two-player games? I mean,
Double Dragon!
I was just about to say, Double Dragon. Okay, that was brilliant. You two guys, 2D on a screen, going side-scroller. I was ready to go. I was like, yeah, let's do this. You know, the only game that's come humanly close just came out this week, and that's Hunted. Okay? And that, the Demon's Forge, which is amazing. That's probably the first time I've actually seen actual co-op interaction that requires two people sitting side by side or sitting across or sitting from game to game, whether it's online, in your living room, whatever, but you are generally playing with another person. It's not multiplayer, it's not you're online with a bunch of other people and here's your team and here's their team. It's none of that. It's strictly you and somebody else. Portal 2, same thing. I like it if it's done correctly. My problem is that a lot of people, like David said, and like you say, they've been shoving it in games just because. And with that, it's really ruined co-op for a lot of people. And I think that if games spent more time actually just going back to the old Nintendo style of two guys on a screen trying to accomplish an objective together, we'd be in perfect shape and not in this big mess of co-op menagerie that everybody's in right now. And I miss it. I really do. I miss being able to sit with my brother or my buddy and on a couch with a couple beers and some popcorn and some snacks. Oh, wait, are we allowed to drink with the controls in our hands? Yeah, I said we could. So, you know.
Yes. House rules.
So you can sit there with a couple beers, bullshit, and just play the game. Super Bowl Sunday is a perfect example. I had Marvel Ultimate Alliance 2. Me and my buddy, we woke up that morning, hungover as shit, ate some bacon.
You cuddled? We cut the balls.
No, literally, hung over to all high hell, said, what are we doing? Ate some bacon, sat down, and played Marvel Ultimate Alliance for like 6 hours, doing absolutely nothing but sitting there just chilling, not talking, just playing a game. I miss that. I miss being able to just play with a buddy of mine to play, not necessarily to be online or to get an achievement or to get a ranking. Even with arena matches in World of Warcraft, where you're stuck with two people, three people, or five people, I enjoy just having the camaraderie of just me and a buddy and playing. That's it. Hell, it would be a lot easier if they would fix the mechanic and maybe we could get our wives to play with us every now and then. Take that as you want.
Giggity.
Did either of you guys play Tomb Raider Guardians of Light?
Yes.
No.
Vanessa and I started playing that, and if it hadn't glitched, we probably would have played a lot more of it. But that actually required teamwork, like two people doing, you know, like the big dude throws the, you know, poles up on the wall, and then Lara climbs up and stuff. So, you know, you had to do that kind of teamwork together.
See, and I think that that's the kind of stuff that a lot of these games are missing nowadays. And Hunted is the same way. The Demon's Forge is just, you have to rely on each other. She does one power, and then you launch another power, and then you guys just go all crazy. Legolas meets, you know, Goliath-type crap, and it's amazing. And I miss being able to just play two players with my little Nintendo controller, honestly. That's it. So I do care.
But that also goes back to how everybody needs to have a full 3D environment. It's hard to do that. It's hard to give a good co-op experience when you're allowing people to roam wherever the hell they want to.
Yeah.
Side-scroller, man. Just go back to side-scroller. Get rid of this 3D crap. Who plays 3D? Really? I mean, you don't need depth.
They need to go back to the old Toe Jam and Earl style, where when you're both in the same screen, it goes to the big, like, it whoop, and it goes up, takes up the whole screen, and then when you separate far enough away, then it goes back to split screen.
Thank you. That's exactly, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Kick down.
Toe Jam and Earl.
Yeah, that would be.
Word.
Good name drop.
Yeah, I'll pick that up. Pick that back up.
He's taking it.
anyway, Corey, you're up. Number four, Steam Daily Sales.
I love it. I totally care. I swear to God, dude, I buy games on Steam just because crap's on sale. That could be a game that I would never hear about. They're like, the entire King Arthur series was on sale the other day, and if I would buy it normally, I had no desire to, but I'm like, ooh, this is on sale. Eh, why not? Click. I mean, they always have daily sales, and that's one of the reasons we got Torchlight for $5 once a year, or why we get these, why I can get 5 games of Prince of Persia in one shot for $15, and that kind of stuff, it opens gamers to a broad range of games they would never normally play, and I think that that's fantastic, and I think Steam should keep it up. I think it's great, and really, it's only a day, it's not killing sales anywhere, and it's going to just bring more and more people to Steam, in my opinion. So I do care, and I love it.
David?
I don't really care. I don't purchase a lot of Steam games, so good for everybody who does.
You should.
It's amazing for everybody who does, but not really. I honestly don't care. I don't like playing PC on the PC. I'm a console player. This is my big thing.
Wait, where's that drop call button? Where's that? I'm not.
Oh,
no.
Okay.
I'm going to go with the care category just because I friggin' love Steam sales. Christmas time, I drop so much money. And that's also why I care. I care because I'm now dropping money when I really shouldn't be. I just bought a game that I'm like, I don't even know what's going on in this game, but it looks really cool, so I'm going to buy it because it's half off.
But it's also nice because they have a lot of, like, legacy and heritage games that you may not have gotten to play last year or the year before, and they're on sale for like $3 and $5, and you go, you know what, I wish I would have got to play that. Oh, here it is for $5. I'm gonna buy it.
I'm not gonna play it,
but I'm gonna buy it. It's gonna just sit in my library.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I really think it's you know, there are a lot of examples where Steam basically has saved a company. Because they put because that company put a game on sale on Steam, and they make up, you know, it's actually an example of making up profit on volume, you know, rather than, you know, just straight up, you know, sales. They actually do make it up in volume. Like, I forget the name of the company that did Multiwinia. Basically, they were going to go bankrupt until, you know, they found, like, Steam doing a sale thing, and all of a sudden, they just sold, like, a bazillion units. So I definitely do care. David? Oh, sorry, you want to...
No, I'm cool. I'm just thinking of a bazillion games sold.
Well, yeah. Well, that's actually a technical term for a lot.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah.
Thank you for the clarification.
I thought,
the more you know.
Right. Right. David, to you, care, don't care, voice acting in games.
I do care. And that comes down to, and everybody called me insane on it, but I actually could not stand the voice acting in L.A. Noire. And that was one of their big focal points, and it just seemed... It seems like they tried, and it was overproduced. And in other, and that's just that one. In other games, it actually... I find it helps with the storytelling aspect of the game having good voice acting, especially in the games that, you know, are heavily story driven. Sorry, my audio just cut out there for a second. But no, in games that are like heavily story driven, it sucks sitting there going, "Wow, we almost made a Jill sandwich." It sucks to hear that kind of voice acting when they're trying to tell a story through these cutscenes and with all the voiceovers and all that stuff. Right. Whereas you get, I'm trying to think of another game that's not as popular but had great. Well, I'll just go back to my default, like God of War. Mm-hmm. They had really.
Yeah, no one's ever heard of that game.
Yeah, they had really good voice acting, which coupled really well with their epic storytelling style they were doing with the game. So, I mean, I do care that they actually nail it right for the genre. And with the first example of L.A. Noire, it just, to me, every time I saw a trailer and everything, it just seemed like you could tell that the actor was standing in a sound booth recording these. And it was just something not right. Like, it didn't sync up right or it didn't look right. At least in almost, like, 90% of these trailers and clips that I've seen, so... But I really do care because it really does help a game. It helps the storytelling aspect of a game.
Corey?
I agree with David. I have to say I care. Yeah, it does. It really does. It immerses you into the game a little bit more. It really just draws you in to have somebody talking to you and interacting with you. I mean, it's just L.A. Noire, anything by Bethesda, it's Star Wars, The Old Republic MMO, which is coming out, which is going to be voice acted, which in an MMO has never been heard of to be completely scripted. So, it's going to soon be required. I mean, you need to have Hunted, as we were just talking about. Lucy Lawless is in it, and she's like the protagonist. So, it's the antagonist, I'm sorry. And it's going to be, it's just natural. It's just you want to be, you don't play video games to read anymore. You're not educating yourself. You want to sit there and have somebody talk to you, tell you the story, and then move on. Keeps it fast-paced, keeps it moving, press on. So, yeah, I believe all games should be voice-acted. So,
I totally agree. I'm going to go with the care because, and I think Heavy Rain was a really good example of some good voice acting, minus the Jason yelling, because even I wanted to stab him after that. Especially when the game glitched and I was standing right in front of the kid. I'm like, I don't understand. I'm standing right in front of him. How come I cannot find him? But,
get over here. You're 2 inches away.
Yeah, I'm right in front of you. See me.
There really just needs to be a game where they're like, warmer, 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 cold, freezing.
Honestly, the game that truly made it for me for voice acting, you know, and I've played a lot of great games for, you know, before this, but still, Portal. GLaDOS made that game, like, even though the game, the actual campaign's probably, you know, only 4 hours maximum, she made that game... made it feel like something completely different. Like, it was just so immersive due to the fact that, you know, it was you and this voice that kept talking to you this whole time, and it just made, for me, it made voice acting be a much bigger part of a game to me than just, you know, occasional, you know, just blips and noises and what and whatever. I'm very curious to see, and I don't believe it's in Skyward Sword, but if the Zelda after that would have some kind of, because, you know, Link's really never ever talked. And that would be something I would like to, you know, I would like to see.
Indeed.
All right,
that'd
moving.
Be weird to think about Portal without having GLaDOS. I don't think that game would have been as great as it was.
I don't think there'd be a sequel if there wasn't, really.
Yeah, I don't think it would have made an actual. The first one would have actually made it to a purchase product.
Yeah. It would have been that nice, cute tech demo that they had bundled into the orange box.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. You're right back to Corey. Gender-specific gaming. So, like, you know, oh, this game's for girls, or this game's for boys.
I care. Because I have a kid, and I have a daughter, and I feel that everything is, obviously, it's being played out, you know, this is for a boy, this is for a girl. I went to go buy my daughter a game today for her Nintendo DS, and we're going on a trip, I'm going on vacation this week, and I went to go get her just a simple DS game. So I was like, you know, I'm going to go pick up something real quick for her that she can play. So here I'm standing here, and I'm looking at this wall of Super Mario Brothers. Mario Brothers, Mario Party, you know, Super Mario this, Mario that, like 12 games for the Nintendo DS. And here is this little pink section of Little's Pet Shop, Barbie.
Imagine babies.
Imagine, yeah, what, you know, Zuzu Pets. And that, and my daughter automatically gravitates toward it. And it's this bright pink, bright colored boxing that's drawing my kid's attention, and I'm thinking, but how much would you have so much fun if you were playing Mario Party on the DS, or if you were playing Super Mario Brothers? And I just feel that, you know, she's being swayed this way because that's what everybody thinks she should be playing, when in actuality I think she would have just as much fun playing a Mario Brothers game. So yeah, I do care, and I hope that it kind of starts blending. I really do. I hope that it starts becoming more collaborative, and that it's no longer this game is for her, this game is for him, but it's more of a, you guys can play this together, and the boy doesn't have to be ashamed that he's playing Zuzu Pets, and the girl doesn't have to be worried that she has to play Call of Duty Black Ops type deal. I hope that there's a blend. Yes, obviously there is numerous people out there that will just play both. You get tons of girls on Call of Duty and other multiplayer online games, and I don't know how many guys play Barbie Riding Princess, but
I know at least three.
Well, have you been looking at my stash? I'm not.
I have.
it's my daughter's, I swear.
But, sure.
But I hope that the lines blur here soon, and that it actually becomes just one demographic, and it's no longer girls' games, boys' games. It's just games.
To you, David.
See. This is a topic I really do care about, because all it's doing is promoting that everybody's supposed to be separate when they're doing their games. See, if you make games specifically for boys, games specifically for girls, all you're doing is backing that whole "I'm a girl gamer" type mindset. You know, it's just completely segregating it all out. Be like, boys need to play these violent and, you know, gun games and all that stuff. Whereas, you know, you have these games that you're making specifically for girls and say, no, you should be playing these, honey. And to me, you should just make games to make games. Like, in the case of Zuzu Pets, you were saying, that should just be a children's game. A little girl should be playing it just as much as a little boy. You know, granted, yeah, you're gonna get girls who are gonna be playing Barbie and boys who won't play Barbie, because let's face it, that's how the toy industry is you got your girls' toys and your boys' toys, and that's a video game based on a girl's toy.
Right.
But it's like making any game specifically for a specific gender. I detest that. So I care that would actually become the state of the industry is, well, we've got boys' games here and girls' games there. You know, if your girl's a little more manly, she can go over here and play Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3. If your boy's a little more effeminate, he can go over here and play, what was it, Corey, what was that Barbie game you play?
Barbie and the Riding Princess.
Right.
There you go.
I love that. Corey, what was that game you played?
It took more of that. just let it happen.
Yeah, no, I absolutely completely agree with both the guys. I mean, it's, to me, and the reason I put this on the list for today is I received an E3 email today talking about, I think, I don't know if it was Cooking Mama or something like that, you know, like, you know, this 3DS game, you know, for girls. And I'm like, I'm reading this press release just thinking to myself, like, why did those two words need to be there? Like, there is no reason why those two words needed to be there.
See, I wouldn't be asking that question. I'd be asking the question of why did they include the mailing list to somebody named Brian?
Well, there was, you know, there were other games from that publisher, but I had someone had lent me, you know, Cooking Mama on the Wii when it first came out. I thought it was pretty fun. I mean, you sit there and you chop carrots, and it's been 4 years since I played it, so I don't really recall anything I made, but, you know, like lasagna or something, you know, I had fun doing that.
Same and, here. I have it on the Nintendo DS, and I love that game. It's just mindless fun. And,
yeah.
Yeah.
So, I guess it bothers me that it's that this sort of mindset is still being propagated at this time, just because, you know, if the people who are doing the marketing are pushing this, then that means, you know, it's definitely trickling down to mass media, and it's the same, you know, these are the kind of things that make, you know, Fox News say that, you know, this game is too this game is violent and making kids violent. You know, that's how these mindsets start. So, you know, as a whole, the industry needs to change, and it needs to actually start with these marketing and PR companies. You know, stop trying to niche these games in so that, you know, you're hoping you can nail, you know, get your publisher a few more copies sold. You know, just push the, you know, push these games. Especially if you're not going after one demographic, you know, you may even expand the audience to include other demographics that would even include make sales, you know, grow faster or give the game more legs.
I agree.
Completely, because that whole press release would have been completely different if they left out that word, four girls.
Yep.
We wouldn't even be talking about that right now.
Yep.
Nope. Not even a bit. Anyway, number seven, David, is to you.
Mm-hmm.
Care, don't care. Wearing socks during sex.
I really don't care. That's all I really have to say about that.
All right. Corey?
Dude, I totally care. You know why? Because when I like to get down to my lovemaking, I like to make sure that the air conditioner is on, and sometimes my feet get cold, and I like to make sure I have socks on. So,
and that explains the Barbie game.
Hey, you know what?
What, you just don't want to get
what
cold?
What I do in my sheets are so something completely different.
I only care when, you know, like, if I have them on and my wife doesn't, then I feel weird. Like, I know there's no reason for me to feel weird, but I do.
Well, you get that awkward, your legs rub against each other by luck, and all of a sudden you're like, ooh, you're not wearing socks, or ooh, you are wearing socks. You feel funny.
No, I'm totally fine if she does and I'm not. Like, that doesn't bother me at all, but I don't know why. I feel like if she doesn't, then I shouldn't.
Awkward.
Yeah. Exactly. Anyway, Corey, you have the last. You start us off on the last one. Care, don't care. One console future.
Don't care. I care. It cannot be one console future. It cannot. There cannot just be one console. This is not Highlander. There cannot be only one. You have to have multiple boxes because you have to have competition. If there's no competition, you have a monopoly. If you have a monopoly, whether it's PlayStation, Xbox, Nintendo, and they all just become one big company, they can charge you whatever they want. They're the only player in town.
It's what gamers need, Brando.
Right?
It has what gamers need.
Yeah, I totally care. You can't. The whole point of, I mean, you have to have more than one. Because there always has to be competition. As long as there's competition, you're going to get the best of something. You're going to get better graphics. You're going to get better gameplay. You're going to get better co-op. You're going to get better experience all around. Because there's always somebody trying to outdo somebody else. The minute you go centralized and have just one guy, they're going to be like, yeah, you know, this works. We don't really have to put much time into it because, you know, we've done it before and it worked. So we'll just keep doing that until it dies off, and then we might come up with something different. So, yeah, I care.
I really thought you were going to be like, and then there's a Monopoly, and then they get to be the thimble.
It, right?
Well, no, I got permanent thimble, so they can't be thimble.
Okay.
I call the shoe.
I always like the little guy on the horse. I don't. Anyway, David, it's you. One console future.
I actually care. And I care for other reasons. I would actually like to see everything get to a point where there cannot be anything further. Like, we have full-on holodecks that we can run around and all that. So then I'd be perfectly fine with having a one console, because then I don't got to worry about, you know, am I going to get the right version? Is this one going to be get the cool DLC? Or is this one going to get boned? You know, I'd like to have just one. But it has to be the ultimate machine that'll end all machines. So once we get there, then one console. But until then, the competition keeps everything from just sitting stagnant. Because, I mean, you got Nintendo who's now trying to push everything forward to catch up to the PS3 and the Xbox. You got the Kinect coming out, which hasn't really done much for the Xbox, in my opinion, but for everybody who's hacked it, they've come up with some crazy, crazy stuff that goes along with it, so that's kind of pushed technology a little bit further. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you guys have ever seen the tech demos of the actual hologram system Sony's working off of, which is built off of their 3D technology, just because they're trying to one-up Microsoft and Nintendo. Mm-hmm. So, but once all of those get to that max point where there's nowhere else we can go, put it all together. Then I only got to worry about buying one disc. I don't got to, you know, worry about, you know,
where your pre-order is.
Not by, kind of.
You know, so you can see what bonuses you're going to get.
Exactly. It's like with, like, specifically with Mortal Kombat. The Xbox got no extra character, whereas the PlayStation got Kratos.
Mm-hmm.
So the Xbox version kind of got, you know, it got less for the same price.
Yeah.
You know, and that's just because there's those multiple consoles. Or if for some reason I was a hardcore Nintendo Wii character player, I didn't get Mortal Kombat at all. So, you know.
Of course, you haven't turned on your Wii, so you wouldn't have known you didn't have it.
I turned it on the other day when I couldn't get Netflix to play on the PlayStation. Or the Google review. Or Xbox. So.
It's just not a Netflix day. I'm glad Wii came through for you.
He didn't come through either.
Oh.
We ended up getting boned off. Still, that was the last time I turned it on.
Sadly, with the whole Netflix thing, I've actually become a convert to the 360, just because I'm just too damn lazy and just go Xbox pause, and then I get up and do whatever I was gonna do,
Xbox.
And then go Xbox play, and then it starts playing.
You need to hack it and do Xbox rage quit. You need to do it.
I swear, every time I play a different game, I try it. Someone has to throw it in there. Someone has to be thinking it somewhere. Anyway, One Console Future, I care just from the fact that, I mean, like, partially Corey's Monopoly thing, but don't we already have the best console ever? Isn't it an iPad? No, I'm just kidding.
Aww.
There's a Switch iPad.
I like the idea of having that, you know, like different companies having, you know, like they're at least being more than one console for that level of competition. I guess I'm just getting a little tired of the, and I think you touched on this, David, the whole, like, you know, depending on where you've pre-ordered the game or, you know, where you are, like, I don't know if they're going to have this on the PSN, but I turned on my 360 this morning, and there's something about a Rockstar Pass, which gets you discounts on LA Noire downloadable content. You don't actually get anything. You just get a chance to get discounts, and they want you to give them $10 for that.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, what? And they can do that because, you know, the PS3 won't get that.
True.
So they got people giving them $10 bill, like, you know, $10 or 800 space bucks, you know, just because they have something that the other console is not going to have. Like, that part, I that part I don't like. But other than that, I mean, I just don't ever think it's, I just don't think it's ever going to happen. There's just never going to be a point where there's just going to be one, unless, you know, like David said, there's going to be holodecks or something, which by that point, I'm sure I'll be dead.
Hey,
so I'm not going
to
worry about it.
Reports I've read, 2040 is when we're supposed to have full-on holodecks like Star Trek.
I'm sure I'll be dead.
Just like hoverboards.
They don't work on water. No, sorry.
Unless you got power.
That's terrible. We're terrible.
Moving on.
So down to our main topic, E3 2011. This is the pre-E3 show. I know I'm excited about, and maybe I should have thought about bringing up our schedule, but I'm really hoping we get our confirmation tomorrow about seeing Final Fantasy 13-2. And I know I have a confirmation for seeing Torchlight 2. I am very, very stoked about seeing these two games. It's like one of those things, like I wasn't even thinking of it last week when I was gone at my brother's, but like once I got back and I started thinking about, you know, like, ooh, Torchlight 2, like I'm getting, you know, like I kind of got a, you know, you get a chill and I'm like kind of getting excited, you know. I'm like, I'm very stoked about seeing this game and getting my hands on it.
It's all about BioShock Infinite. Which, by the way, we do have a confirm for that as well.
Oh, okay. I saw that on the calendar.
Yeah. Nice. Now we're digressing away. But yeah, I completely agree with you. I really can't wait to see what's going on there. Like, specifically, kind of what Nintendo has up their sleeve.
Mm-hmm.
With
mm-hmm.
the Project Cafe. I'm really, really interested to see that. And also the five-hour-long Sony press conference.
Yeah.
Kind of interested what's all going on there, because I'm pretty sure they're going to show off the new Vita.
Did I miss the Vita? What's the Vita?
That was the rumored name for the NGP.
Oh, okay.
And Sony's all but officially confirmed it. Somebody dug through their E3 webpage and found links to, you know, the PS3, the PSN, all their other stuff, and then a link to the PlayStation Vita.
Who has time to do all this?
Somebody who sits at work bored.
Yeah, somebody who's at work not killing ghosts in downtown Las Vegas.
Exactly. But no, so pretty much that's been all but officially confirmed, but it's been on all the source code for one of Sony's web pages, so. But I'm just really interested to see. I mean, I know the event calendar that they've sent out was supposed to be like an hour and a half of actual sit-down press conference time, and then they're supposed to have some huge booth set up with like 150 kiosks that have all of their stuff they're showing, so that media doesn't have to stand in the ridiculously long lines.
Yeah.
To take a look at, you know, Uncharted 3, Twisted Metal, you know, I'm assuming God of War 4, because it's about that time. And, you know, and then on top of that, the Vita as well, because, you know, it's the new console that, you know, everybody, or new handheld that everybody's swearing is supposed to be like a PSP and the iPad and everything mixed together or something like that.
I don't even know what you guys are talking about. E3? What is that? Oh, I'm kidding.
I'm like, shut up.
Fired.
Can I go? My turn?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
Okay. Oh, that was great, Corey. That was awesome.
Yeah, thanks, Corey.
You know what? Just because I'm not going doesn't mean I can't.
Shh, you're going into a tunnel.
Okay, so obviously Sony's Vita, I'm looking forward to that because any next-gen console or platform or portable is, I mean, it's the next step. I think we're going to see a lot more mobile gaming at E3 this year, which is kind of exciting. But you know what I'm really excited about is that being a big role-playing fan, there are so many role-playing games coming out at this E3 that they're going to be showing.
Skyrim!
Oh yeah, hello, Elder Scrolls 5 Skyrim. We haven't seen that we haven't seen an Elder Scrolls game since 2006. So I'm like, yes. We got Deus Ex, Human Revolution, yes please, Mass Effect 3, ka-ching. I mean, this is all like, it's just money. And you know what I think?
Time World Tour.
What? Really?
Seriously.
Good lord. No, okay, and you know what I think is going to steal the show that a lot of people are not giving enough credit to? Kingdoms of Amalur: Reckoning. The Todd McFarlane, Ken Ralston,
38 Studios.
38 Studios project. I think that's going to be one of those things that a lot of people are not giving enough credit for, that when they get to see the actual, like, they're going to get their hands on the gameplay, they're going to really be excited about that. So I'm looking forward to that. Obviously, Star Wars, for the MMO world, Star Wars The Old Republic, a little hands-on there. Terra Online, that Korean ass-kicking Blue Hole studio game. That looks beautiful. Whether I'll play it or not, I'm not too sure. But, like, it's a role-playing smorgasbord, and I'm freaking stoked. And my last exciting E3 thing is Uncharted 3. So,
Never heard of it.
What's Uncharted 3?
You know what? I didn't like either of you guys anyways. How do I hang up this call? Hold on a second. No.
No, wait, let me do it for you.
Does this sound like a phone hanging up?
Yeah. I mean, I'm interested to see what they're going to do with the new multiplayer. I'm looking forward to see what they're going to do in this next level of gaming. I mean, it's hopefully we get some more details, more deets this week, and I'm very excited, and I'll be drooling over it for the next week easily.
All right. All right. So one that I know one of the things that Dave and I are going to see is we're going to stop by 2K Games on Wednesday. We're going to see XCOM again, because I got to see it last E3 and it looked good. I personally liked it. I mean, they only showed a very short snippet of gameplay, so I don't want to say it kind of looked dumb, but at the time it kind of looked dumb just because you're like, all right, you shot some blobs. Good for you.
No, it's still an early demo.
Yeah, exactly. So they've had an entire year to work on that, so I'm excited about seeing that. The Darkness 2,
yeah,
we're going to be seeing that on Wednesday as well. I know you're pretty excited about that, David. I am,
even though I'm holding it back. I'm holding it back.
I can tell. We're going to try to see the new Tomb Raider.
Yeah.
The new reboot of that. There's some other big ones out there, like Hulk Hogan's Main Event. I think that's going to be a real eye-opener. Now I'm just going to scroll down the list and start pulling out some of these games that are
The Transformers MMO?
Yes, we did. We have a thing for the Transformers MMO. There is a super... I totally blanked out on what I was going to say. shush.
You ever forget
Superhero Squad? That's what it was. Superhero Squad Online. I'm thinking about stopping by just because I love that cartoon. There was something else where I saw. I was pretty excited about. Lord of the Rings: War of the North. I want to definitely stop by and see that because I've only heard good things about that. David, do you think they're going to have the whole DC Universe online, like, reboot stuff at the SOE booth?
I haven't heard much from the SOE booth from SOE. Mm-hmm. I know they're going to have, let me pull that up.
I got an email, I just forgot to do anything with it.
Well, I've talked to them, and we'll talk about that later. Right. As of right now, pretty much there's a bunch of EQ stuff, EverQuest 2 coming through. Mm-hmm. Free Realms are going to talk about that. And that's pretty much all I've heard from them. Maybe they'll talk more about moving Magic the Gathering Tactics to the PSN.
Nice.
Maybe they'll have some answers on why they killed the agency.
There's a touchy subject.
Yeah, that's all I know of.
Prototype 2.
That
should look good. Dead Island. We'll have to stop by and see those guys. I didn't receive any emails from them, so I will have to go see them.
Naughty Bear 2. Can't forget about that.
Oh, really? That's right. I forgot about that.
Phineas and Ferb Across the Second Dimension.
Oh, you guys have to go to the Phineas. Yes. Okay, if you guys don't go, I'm going to be very pissed off. And if you guys don't give me a Perry the Platypus shirt, I'm going to be even more pissed off, just so we're clear.
All right, I'll arm wrestle them until I get it.
I guess also for you, Corey, we'll go by the Barbie thing, too.
Hey, right.
I'll make that stop while I'm going over to the to go check out Batman Arkham City and the new Mortal Kombat DLC stuff they're showcasing there.
Nah, never heard of it.
Oh.
There was one other thing I saw. I'm really being terrible. I should have wrote these things down that I found exciting. Oh, there's going to be the new Assassin's Creed. They're going to show that. We'll probably see that at the Ubisoft presser, though.
Yeah, and maybe they'll have actual information on the official Assassin's Creed 3 outside of it. I know that Revelation's supposed to be the finale of Assassin's Creed 2.
Nice.
Of that whole story.
I got a question for you guys. With Sony's big old press conference for, what is it, 4 hours?
Five hours. They better have drinks.
If not, bring your own. It's BYOB, man. I'm wondering, do you guys think they're going to make any mention of the outage?
Yeah.
I think
they're going to have to just bring it up and talk about it. I
think they'll downplay it at all. I don't think they'll mention it at all. They'll just go straight into the new products and what they're going to offer now.
The way they've done it before, I don't think they'll downplay it. I think they'll actually make a joke about it.
Think so?
Kind of like how they've done before. Like they'll acknowledge it, but they'll do it in that, you know, kind of a joking manner. Probably bring up the whole like, yeah, we got hacked, but Microsoft got hacked too.
Yeah, so
something like that. Or they'll just have Kevin Butler come out there and just do a big sorry and then walk off stage.
That would totally work, by the way.
Yeah,
for the record.
If that happens, again, Sony stole another idea of mine.
Okay, everybody write that down. You heard it here first. Again.
Nice. Very nice. Battlefield 3, totally forgot about that.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Definitely have to stop that.
Was that little game Mass Effect 3? That little RPG, something like that? I don't know.
I'm going to cancel that when I get there.
Modern Warfare 4. 3.
3. And Modern Warfare Elite. Call of Duty Elite, sorry.
Call of Duty Elite. See, if they don't get that naming convention straight, I'm done. Modern Warfare, Call of Duty, Modern Warfare, we be Modern Warfare and shit. I don't know. I just try.
They should just have Shooter Game 1.
Right?
And then just start there.
Whatever happened to just having, like, 1, 2, and 3, or 1, 2, 3, and 4? Did numbers not work anymore?
Their whole thing was about, it had to do with, studios.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I understand, but come on. Just call it Call of Duty. Don't call it Call of Duty Modern Warfare. Just call it Call of Duty. Done. Go.
But, yeah. So, I mean, kind of rolling back to what I had started the podcast with was, it seemed to me that the show floor may not be quite as big as it has been in the past.
Well, I think they're kind of cutting stuff out because there's so many other conventions that nobody wants to blow their load on E3 anymore. Everybody obviously prepares for it and tries to get as many big announcements as they can, but because there's so many other conventions, I mean, even game developer conferences here in Texas, they're everywhere. So they don't want to just give it to you all on E3. They got to make it stretch out throughout the year now, because it used to be everybody got your news at E3, everybody knew what was happening for the next year. Done. But now, I mean, you have presence like Activision Blizzard doing BlizzCon in October. You have even Comic-Con, which has a lot of stuff that's being announced as they become more media-centric and more video game-oriented. They have to kind of spread it out and spread their announcements out. So I think they don't need as much showroom floor now to show everything in one shot.
I honestly think the reason that it's that case is I think the people putting on the convention are just looking for too much money, and these studios want to have a big presence there, but don't want to drop way more money than they did last year. I mean, with all of the crazy restrictions they did this year, I think that's also fallen onto the developers and all that stuff, and the publishers and everything, because it's still a convention to make money. There's still somebody making money out of all of this, even though it's not really a game studio or a developer or a publisher or anything like that.
It's ESA.
Yeah. So, I mean, somebody's making money out of it, and it's just, I think that that also plays a factor into it, because even last year, all the, you know, trying to spread out your announcements, that needed to be considered that as well, because there was, what, 3 packs, South by Southwest, 4 GDCs, Gamescom, BlizzCon, Comic-Con,
Tokyo Game Show,
WonderCon, Comic-Con New York. There was so many conventions to announce stuff, but, you know, they still had to spread it out last year, but the booths were even bigger than I've seen, at least on the map, unless they played with the map and made the map look a lot smaller than it actually is.
Which is entirely possible, but it just looked like, I'm like, everything seems like maybe the boxes just seem smaller. I could be wrong. I mean,
well, the other thing too I've noticed as well is there's still a lot of spots that say open.
Yep.
For reservation, for somebody to pick it up for the weekend or for the week or whatever. So they haven't even fully sold out their booths unless something has changed within the last week.
Not that I've seen.
Yeah, because it was like maybe 30 rooms and like a couple of actual booth spots on the floor were still left open.
Mm-hmm.
So yep. I think it comes down to the money. They're asking more money than last year, and even though they want to have a big presence there, they're not willing to shell out all of the money that the ECA wants.
On a side note, since you guys are going to be so busy doing everything at E3 in Los Angeles, and I'm going to be sitting here in front of my computer watching everything you guys do relentlessly, do you guys have plans on checking out a little thing called Video Games Live? You know, it's the 200th show at E3 this year. And there is a lot of... David, you'll appreciate this. I think they're doing Resident Evil 5 for the first time. I don't know what song, but they're doing a whole orchestration conducted by Wataru Hokiyama is doing music from Resident Evil 5 for the first time ever. They're doing music from Red Dead Redemption for the first time. And I think that they're going to have some music for Might and Magic Heroes, what are we on, 6? 5? 6.
6.
4. 6. We're on 6. They're going to do some music premiering for that. Halo Reach. Let me see what else is coming out. Oh, and they're going to have some, which I'm very interested to see, the MMORTS that I cannot wait for, End of Nations. Yes, please. So, it looks like it's going to be a huge deal. So, and it's only $25, and I think that anybody that's listening that wants to go, they need to go, because that's a once-in-a-lifetime experience. But I didn't know if you guys were going at all to check it out.
I hadn't planned on going, just because I've seen it twice, and I don't know.
But it's new stuff.
Okay.
More music. Moss music.
Yeah.
I haven't planned on it either myself, but...
I would go. Maybe.
Yeah, if you were there, but you're not.
Yeah, well, you know what?
Yeah.
Someone has to hold down the fort while you guys are having fun in E3.
I think people have a misunderstanding about how much, quote-unquote, fun is had.
Hey, you know what? Yeah. You go play Torchlight 2, I will sit here and read about you playing Torchlight 2. How about that?
That would be hilarious.
Yes, that's pretty amazing. I can't wait.
I'll see if they can videotape me playing it. Even if they don't get the screen on there, just videotape me playing it just for you.
Yeah, I'll sit here and hold down the fort. Don't worry. Yeah, fun.
I'll just get this email. I'll, like, open it and be like, oh, it's from Corey. And then a big fist would come out and punch me in the face.
I can do that. This can't be arranged.
That's fantastic. So, last thoughts before we wrap this up and get ready for my flight on Sunday.
Skyrim. God, I cannot. Just so awesome.
Well, obviously, Corey's going to need some time.
I am. I'm probably going to need... hold on. Let me get my socks on.
Fantastic. Excellent, excellent pickup.
That's a callback right there. Callback.
Just gonna pick that right back up.
Good job.
Really? Yeah. Skyrim, Mass Effect 3, and Kingdoms of Amalur: Reckoning. I'm gonna see what 38 Studios is bringing. I'm very excited. So.
All right. Well, follow David and I, and I know Corey is going to be doing his best keeping up with us over the internet. So check us out on Twitter. I'm actually, and David and I need to kind of coordinate this, but I'm hoping to be live blogging the press conferences as we go to them. I know I still need to hear back from Microsoft still, so I'm guessing that's probably a no. But but definitely for Sony and for Ubisoft and Nintendo, we will be there. So hopefully doing that and live blogging that as we are there.
Are you guys really going to live blog for the 5 hours, honestly? Because if there's, like, drinks...
Yeah.
I want you to live blog that. I want you to be like, so David got a martini, and Brian got himself a shot of whiskey, and that's it.
You know, then it'd be like, and like, and then Brian drinks.
Everything just sort of crap.
And then it'll just be L, like running across the stream.
Just a bunch of LOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLO support while you guys work, quote unquote.
So keep an eye on the webpage, and I know that Dave and I will probably try to have Corey come in and do a podcast sometime during the week. I know last time we had this like goal of like every day we're going to totally do this, and then we did like twice.
It's not enough time.
Out of like the 4 or 5 days. We'll see how it works out. So keep in tune to keep your URL pointed to aggregamer.com, and look for articles, and look for us on Twitter. I'm Quiglin. The real Hades is David, and well, we don't worry about Corey. And it's Mythic Griffin for Corey. So it's been a good show. Thanks a lot, guys. Thanks for coming on again.
Thank you.
Good times.
All right. We'll see you on the show floor at E3 next week. That's it from here. Peace.
Skyrim. Later.